say good morning and like to greet each of you in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be together in this way to worship. Special welcome to our visitors. It's also good to see Lyndon and Kara back with us again. Welcome you here. And it's a due sense of vacancy here, though, this morning, as Keith already mentioned. It's not strange for Jill not to be with us, but it is very strange and a strange feeling to have one that we look up to as a leader being in the condition that he is. I do want to thank God for the miracles that we've already seen in his life and heard that he has experienced, and we want to keep praying that God would keep working in his life and restore him to what he was before. Isn't it true that we never know what a day will hold? Wake up in the morning and we just don't know what will happen that day. We look ahead at a new week. What will happen this week? We really don't know. We talked about being perfectly broken, about God being in control of our lives, and we submit to that. But yet there the question remains is, what if? What will God allow us? What will God allow to happen in our lives? And then we're faced with the question of, how can we live in peace? How can we confidently face each day? We don't really know what will happen. Question for you this morning is, do you struggle with questions like that? What if? What now? How am I going to? Or what if this happens? Do those questions go through your minds? I must confess that I do have questions like that going through my minds. We can look at a lot of different scenarios, and sometimes they come through our hearts, through our minds. You know, what if I lose my job? What if people make fun of me? What if something happens to me? What if something happens to my family? There's a lot of different scenarios out there that we can spend time thinking about. My mind went to the verse in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I would like to emphasize that verse this morning, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That verse is for us as a congregation. That verse is for Joe and for Elaine and for their family. We can this morning cast our care upon him because he is caring for us. What is this care? It is, Jesus gives us a couple word pictures of his care for us. It's like a shepherd with sheep. It's like a hen with its chicks. It's like a mother with her baby. That's the type of care that Jesus will give for us this morning. I believe God has laid a message on my heart this morning. And when this message came to me, I did not know what would happen this week. It was before I got the phone call Wednesday morning, what would happen to Brother Joe. But I'd already faced quite a struggle Monday morning, Tuesday morning, again, not knowing what would be happening at all. And I'm not sure if you can relate to this at all, but woke up wee hours, early hours of the morning, during the night, and Sunday night, Monday morning, couldn't go back to sleep. My mind's racing, different thoughts going through my mind. Again, Tuesday, same scenario. And Tuesday, as I tried to have my personal time with God, I believe He convicted me of a need in my life, and because of that, I feel led to share this morning. God told me that I am being burdened down with worry. And I share this morning from that perspective. I hope that you are not facing worry in your life. And if you are, I hope that these thoughts can speak to you and that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've entitled the message this morning, Winning Against Worry. And I would like to start with two very familiar passages that speak to this, and we will try and see what we can learn from. I'd like to read the words from Matthew 6, the end of this chapter. I mentioned the verse from 1 Peter 5:7, where it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I would like to hold that up before us this morning as a text, that no matter what we face, that God is there for us, and He will help us. We do not need to be cast down. We do not need to carry our cares all by ourselves. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. We serve that Savior this morning, that God, the Almighty God this morning. I'd like to read the verses from Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or we could say, worry not for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There are three main thoughts in this passage, or at least three that I would like to highlight for us to remember when we think of the struggle in life and our tendency to worry. They are that we need to trust in God. And I appreciate what Brother Delvin brought out in his devotional meditation. We have a God that is worthy of our trust, and we can trust in God. The other thing we need to remember is that we need to look beyond the struggles of this earth. This earth is temporary. We're only here preparing for a time to come. And God would have us look beyond. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to look beyond the struggles of this earth. While it can be difficult, it can be hard, we can become bogged down with worry, anxiety. God would have us look beyond the struggles that we face in life. And the third one I would like to highlight from this passage is we need to have a strong understanding of the care of our Heavenly Father. And I already mentioned some of that from the verse from 1 Peter 5:7. God would have us understand that He wants to care for us. He is holding out His arms to us, His arms of care and compassion. He wants to care for us. Let's look at another passage, and this one is from the Old Testament, Psalm 37. I'd like to read a few verses from Psalms 37. Again, this is a familiar one I'm sure we are well acquainted with. And this would deal a little closer with the struggle of worry. Psalm 37, I believe I'll read the first 8 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I did not take the time to look when David wrote this psalm. That would be interesting, and the thought just hit me as I was reading that. What was going on in David's life when he wrote these words? What were his worries? What do you think David might have been struggling with? Was he worried? The word fret is an interesting word. 3 times in these verses he says, fret not thyself. And as I understand it, the word fret comes from an old English word, fretten. Not sure if I'm saying that right, fretten. But it means to devour, to eat, to gnaw. And the Hebrew word, which would be translated here fret, that word is kara. Again, if I'm saying that right. And that word means to glow or grow warm. Do we ever use the terminology of getting hot under the collar? Sometimes when we worry, it stirs up our emotions. We might feel ourselves getting angry, and that can be what this word is referring to, fret. Fret not thyself. This might be a little bit of a crude word picture. But when you put that together, the idea of gnawing and also of the grow warm, we can picture worry, fretting as something that gnaws away at our mind, maybe as a rat would gnaw away at a piece of wood. We have this, may I call it a rat inside our mind called worry that's gnawing away at our mind. And we can also think of Satan as an arsonist. He's setting these little fires of worry in our minds. He's kindling these little fires of worry. And the advice here is that we would fret not. Don't feed that fire. Kill that rat that's gnawing away in your mind called worry. Fret not thyself. Let's win against worry. So the question is, how are we doing? I hope you're not facing this struggle, because it can drag us down. But there is. I'm thankful this morning as I looked into God's word that there is a way that we can win against worry, and we do not need to let it control our lives. I would like to just suggest a few different ways this morning that we can win against worry. I have a few different points that I would like to suggest. And as we go through these points, you might realize that maybe I don't have the most important ones first, and I am doing that, I guess, because I would like to save the positive for the last so that we can leave this place with positive thoughts in our minds. First one I have is to identify what worry is. Sometimes in our lives, we feel ourselves being drugged down. And we might not have the zeal and the zest for life that we think we should, and we're not sure what's affecting us. We need to identify what is going on in my life, and we might realize that we are being burdened with worry. And so one of the ways that we win against worry is we acknowledge that this is what is happening in our lives. What is worry? Identify what worry is. What is it? Worries are like weeds in your garden. Realize that gardening is probably past for the season. But yet we're familiar enough to know that if we have weeds in our garden, it's not a good thing. If you have worry in your mind, it's not a good thing. And there are a lot of parallels that we can draw. If you don't control the weeds in your garden, they're going to take over your garden. If we don't control the worry in our mind, it will take over our minds. Worry is negative thinking. Negative thinking destroys positive thinking. It's just that simple. And if we have negative thoughts, such as worry, it will make us discouraged. Philippians 4:8, a familiar verse, and it tells us things that we should be thinking about. And I read over this verse, and I do not see anything that implies that we should be worrying. Find ye, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Are the things that we worry about true? Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What is worry? Did you hear anything in that verse that sounded like worry? Worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. So you put together the power of water, the power of erosion, and the law of gravity. And that will give us a little idea of what worry can do in our minds. It can start as a small trickle. With the power of erosion, it becomes bigger. And because of the law of gravity, water will flow downhill. So when we have that channel of worry in our minds, all our other thoughts are going to flow into that worry stream. What is worry? We can give it many different names. Sometimes we call it anxiety, sometimes we call it tension, sometimes we call it stress. I think it is something that we do not want in our lives. Doctors talk about it also. And here is what they say. They say worrying can affect your daily life so much that it may interfere with your appetite, lifestyle habits, relationships, sleep, and job performance. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, smoking, alcohol, and drugs. And we know that that is happening all around us. Worry is living tomorrow's problems today. Corrie ten Boom, I think I'm saying her name right. She lived during the World War II, and many of us have heard her name or read her book, The Hiding Place. And she said this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength." And I thought that was very well said. Let's move on. I'd like to just say that what I'm sharing this morning, I'm sharing to you as fellow Christians, and I have not specified this, but I hope we all realize that there's only one real remedy for worry, and that is a strong relationship with our Savior. And that's where all this is based on, the understanding that we are making sure our relationship with God is intact before we apply all these other points. Number two, apply ourselves diligently to know. Sorry, let me say that again. Apply ourselves diligently to what we know. And that is the question. Are we doing really what we know to do? Some of the struggle against worry, we need to look at ourselves as, am I applying myself to do what I know I should be doing? That can start with our relationship with God. Is my relationship with God what it should be? Am I trusting God as I should? Maybe we should get more practical. Fathers in the home, sometimes we can worry about, will there be enough money to go around? How will I take care of the needs of my family? We can sit there and worry about this, or we can take that same energy and just make sure that we are using everything we have in a profitable way. We can go apply ourselves to making sure we are using our resources wisely and that we are working diligently, that we are applying ourselves as we should. Mothers, we could also talk about the things that you might face with your families. Again, we can worry about our children. Will they be okay? Will their needs be met? Will others be kind to them? What will the future hold for our family, for our children? We can worry about that, or we can try to be there for them. We can focus on applying ourselves to teach them, making sure their needs are met as much as we can within our realm. I'm not sure if any other age groups have any worries. But I think I remember when I was young as a youth, I spent some time worrying also. It's like, what do people think about me? What's going to happen in my life? What's going to happen in my future? Again, is it better to worry, or is it better to spend my energy being the person that I should be? Should I spend my energy? Wouldn't it be better for me to apply myself to being all I can in the situation I'm in rather than worrying about what might happen and what could happen? Again, let's apply ourselves diligently to what we know we should be doing. And right along with that, third one is to make wise choices. Sometimes we make wrong choices, and that is a worry to us. So if we focus on making wise choices, it can help us win against worry. Have I done everything I can do in this situation? And if we can choose not to worry. And we also need to choose not to worry, because as we said, worry will make an inroad in our thought life. Number four, share our worries with others. I think this is one way that we can win against worry. When we think of the struggles that we face, and I realize that sharing our struggles with others, sharing our worries with others, is not nearly beneficial as sharing our struggles with God, who is the one who really can care for us. But we will continue to emphasize that and keep that foremost in our minds. But there is a place when we are sharing, when we are facing worries in our lives, that it is helpful to share them with others. I think this is a special blessing for Husband and wives, if you're struggling with worry, share it. If something is bothering you, share it with your spouse. Parents and children, let's take this blessing that is part of family. And if you're struggling with worry, something is bothering you, share it amongst yourselves. I would like to just give a word to parents. Let's be mindful of our children, because as I mentioned, sometimes we're tempted to look at our children as living a worry-free life. What really can bother them? And if it's bothering them, that's so small compared to what adults face. Really, is it a big issue? And it might not be. But the thought I'd like to suggest here, as adults, as parents, if we do not take the time to help our children work through the worry in their little lives, how can we expect them to work through worry in their big lives when they become older? So I think as parents, we need to help our children. If something is bothering them, if they're stressed out, if there's tension in their life, that we can help them talk it out of their life and work through it. That is part of sharing our worries with others. That way, when they become older, they will understand the benefit of sharing their worries. Let's look at the next one, number 5. And that is simply pray. I'm so thankful this morning that if we are facing a life of worry, a life of stress, there is the answer of prayer. What would life be like if we could not communicate with our Heavenly Father? We talked this morning in our Sunday school lesson about the new and the living way. And I'm sure in the Old Testament, they had a way to deal with the worry in their life. But it's hard for me to imagine the benefit of going to the priest and having him carry your burdens. I'm thankful this morning that we can pray to God when we face worry. We can pour it out to him. I had to think of the little song we sometimes sing. It says, "Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Trust fully in his promise. Why worry, worry, worry when you can pray?" Isn't it often when we start worrying that we stop praying? I don't know if you find that at all or not. But as I looked at my life and the worries that were bothering me, I find myself maybe not praying. And I had to realize that worry can stop us from praying. How does prayer help us with our worries? And there's a verse again in Philippians 4. It says, "Be careful," or we could say, "worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." What does worry do? It destroys peace. And where is peace from? Peace is from God. So when we pray, we communicate with God, who is the source of peace. When we worry, we destroy peace. And in essence, what we're doing is we're destroying our relationship with God. We're destroying our relationship with the one who gives us peace. I think it's okay and it's good for us to tell God what is worrying us. Tell God what is bothering us. Now, we need to do that carefully. We do not do it in a way that we're demanding from him what we feel we should have, but we're just laying out before him our troubles and our worries. The blessings again of prayer. Another way that we can win against worry is to realize that God is in control. That is maybe one of the more important ones. As we think about the struggle that we face against worry, we need to realize that God is in control, and what we are enjoying is a blessing from Him. I wonder if it doesn't go this way sometimes. We know that God made the earth. God created man. God put man on the earth, and He said, "Here it is. You take care of it." So we have man on the earth. Man's taking care of the earth, and man starts to think that he owns the earth and that he can control what happens on the earth. And we lose sight of the fact that God is in control. We're only here. We're only keepers of what He has entrusted to us. But then we start worrying when things don't go as expected. Things go a little bit out of our control or how we expect them to go, and then we start worrying. Are we realizing that God is in control? We tend to feel better when things are going the way that we expect, because then we feel we're in control. Again, are we realizing that God is in control and that all that we enjoy is a blessing from Him? Woven in with this thought is the idea of submission, submitting to the fact that God is in control and that we will allow Him to be in control of what happens in our lives. Number 7, let's focus our minds on God's blessings. Our minds are wonderful things, but sometimes they can create so much trouble for us. And we have different thoughts going through our minds, and some of them we label them as automatic thoughts. They just come. Other times we need to make a choice of what we're going to think about. And that's what I would like to suggest this morning. Let's focus our minds on God's blessings, especially when we are burdened down with the worries and cares of life. Think back again to the illustration of the garden. We can choose to go out there and pull those weeds, and that's an important thing to do because those weeds really shouldn't be in our garden. But the other thing that we can do is we can go out and fertilize those good plants. We can spend time cultivating them and nourishing them so that they grow strong. So it's important that we remove the weeds of worry out of our mind, but it's also important that we zero in on God's blessings, the good things that they are in our minds. And that brings me to the last point. It's fill your mind with the promises of God. This is, again, one of the most important thoughts I would like to leave with you, and that's one of the reasons I saved it for last, is because if you are struggling this morning with worry, one of the things that we can do to win against worry is to fill our minds with the promises of God, and there are so many. We read some in Matthew 6. There's a phrase there. It said, "If God so clothed the grass of the field," if God is concerned about nature, isn't He much more concerned about you, who He has made in His image? Psalm 37:3, we read, "Trust in the Lord and do good." We also read, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." That's for each of us this morning. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We choose to allow God to be in our mind, and we can experience perfect peace. Isaiah 41, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Sometimes when we're in the struggles of life, it's hard to relate to how these promises all will work out in our lives. But let's remember to cast our burdens on him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's remember to have our minds filled with the promises of God. I do not this morning know what may be worrying you, what type of stress you may be facing. I do not know if you are feeling anxious about the things in your life. But when we are faced with these thoughts, we have a choice of what we might do or what we can do. We can let these thoughts drive us away from our relationship with God, or we can let these thoughts draw us to God, who is the source of care for us. And this morning, I would like to encourage each of you to do that. Found that necessary in my own heart to choose to place the worry at his feet and let him come up with the solutions. And I'm so thankful that we can do that this morning. Let's kneel for prayer.